We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome in. Trevor Lane here for LakersNation.com. Big offseason ahead for the Lakers. We've got a ton of things still up in the air for LA. Their head coach, who is it going to be? What are they even looking for in a head coach? What are they going to do with some of the players that we still don't know? Are they picking up their player options? Are they not? LeBron James, D'Angelo Russell, two of the big ones. How do they build out the next iteration of the team? We're going to talk about all that and more with our guest today, which is Mark Medina. Does a phenomenal job covering the NBA for Sportskeeda. You've also seen him on CBS. You can hear him on Fox Sports Radio. Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, Trevor, thanks for having me. It's always been a treat anytime I get to talk Lakers with you.
Well, I always appreciate it when you come on the show. We've got a big summer ahead here for the Lakers, and I guess where we could start, it's with, I think, the first on the to-do list for the Lakers. It's the head coaching front. I guess first, give me your thoughts. Did the Lakers make the right decision in moving on from Darvin Ham?
Well, I think technically it made sense because of the fact that when you look at the roster, it underachieved, and you know there were adjustments that he could have made when it comes to rotations and you know in-game play calling, all those things. But I don't think it addresses the majority of the problems. Darvin Ham was attractive enough as a candidate to hire him 2 years ago, and he didn't get significantly worse since then. If anything, he's actually gotten better. So I think the problem with this head coach is, I know a lot of people talk about ever since Phil Jackson retired, there hasn't been stability, but I think the context of that's a little bit different. So let's really narrow in on the context of since Rob Pelinka has been overseeing the front office. There's been, you know, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham, and now whoever their next future coach has been since 2019. And so I think that the problem is if they're going to choose a certain coach and value certain qualities, they got to go all in on that. And there has to be a level of patience. But that being said, he's not above scrutiny. But I think the bigger thing is that they got to find ways to improve the roster. And I'm saying that with the perspective that I think philosophically they did take the right route last offseason with choosing continuity and roster depth over getting a third star, most notably in either Kyrie Irving or Trae Young. But I think the lessons from this season is that continuity might be good, roster depth might be good, but only means so much if you have consistently healthy players and you also have consistent players that can ensure that continuity.
Well, and then we also, you know, one of the criticisms of Darvin Ham was that when continuity was available, he didn't always choose continuity. Yeah. For example, starting Torian Prince to begin the season. I know that was a topic of frustration from within the Lakers locker room, not just the Torian Prince situation, but also later on in the season when D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves lost starting roles for portions of the season. There was some frustration with that. With that being the case, do you go back to continuity this summer, or are you at a point now where you say, look, we need to add firepower to this team and continuity can't be the driving force anymore?
Yeah, I think it's a layered conversation, just like last season. But I think some of the dynamics have changed where the Lakers are going to have up to 3 draft picks on draft night. So they have more assets at their disposal to make a more significant move. But I think that when we look at the history with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, philosophically, they've had the most success when they've had roster depth. You know, that dates back to the championship in 2020. It also dates on the other end when they made the ill-fated trade with Russell Westbrook and missed the playoffs. And so I think that if I had to choose one or the other, it's not necessarily continuity. It's more roster depth, because you can have certain incumbent players mixed in with some new guys. But I think that is the better play than getting a quote-unquote third star and not having enough reinforcements. But again, I think the complicated thing is that there is a pathway that they could get a quote-unquote third star, but still have enough roster depth that's not just veteran minimum guys and nothing else. So that's the challenge that the Lakers have on their hands. But I think that even with, you know, all the criticism that the Lakers front office have gotten over the years, you know, with just instability, with the coaching staffs and everything else, that they have been pretty disciplined with trying to outline their point of attack and having different contingency plans. So I suspect that, you know, they'll have all those different combinations and possibilities outlined before they pursued.
Sure. It's a very fine line to walk, right? Trying to have enough depth while still having that top end talent, especially, you know, I mean, the Lakers, it's in their DNA to go after those superstars. Going back to the whole, like, Darvin Ham, the coaching thing for a moment here, now that they have moved on, they made the decision, again, right or wrong, they made the decision to move on from Darvin Ham. And, you know, there was some reason to think they probably, you know, they knew that they needed to make that decision. But now, you know, you mentioned the turnover at the head coach position since Phil Jackson. What do they need to look for in order to make sure that whoever it is that they pick is the guy that's going to, I mean, 5 years, I guess, is a lifetime in the NBA world. What do they look for to make sure that whoever they hire now is the coach for, say, the next 5 years?
Yeah, well, in fairness, the Lakers haven't indicated anything as far as philosophically which way they're leaning. But I remember talking to some executives in past years when the Lakers, ironically, were going through coaching searches before. And they emphasized to me that in general, when there's a coaching search, instinctively, the team will be looking for a candidate that has the opposite qualities of the coach that they just fired. It's just human nature. It's the same thing when you have a breakup. You know, usually there's reasons why the relationship doesn't work, and now you're looking for those qualities that were lacking in your next relationship, right? So what does that mean for the Lakers? I would think that they would lean toward someone who has experience in head coaching. But if they do decide to go for, say, an assistant coach that has good credentials, or even someone who doesn't have head coaching experience, a la J.J. Redick, that they would make sure that there's experience on his coaching staff. You know, someone like a Ron Adams that worked well with Steve Kerr over the years when he was with the Warriors, first year out and onward, of being that veteran sage that can give him feedback, as well as, you know, later on, Mike Brown served as that key assistant later on under Steve Kerr's tenure before he went to Sacramento, where he was very established. He knew X's and O's, and that, you know, made up for that lack of quote unquote head coaching experience. But I don't think there's a wrong and right answer with this, because outside of Ty Lue, there's no home run hire. And the thing with Ty Lue is, I don't think he's going anywhere. Being at the Lakers or the Clippers exit meetings this week, Lawrence Frank made it very clear that they want to keep Ty Lue for a very long time. And while it can be technically Ty Lue's choice to make, he still has 1 year left on his contract. And I think that he has said publicly that he likes the trust that the organization's given him and the collaboration. So we should just X him out. So with that, I don't think there's any home run candidates. Every potential candidate that you see, whether it's a proven head coach like a Mike Budenholzer or a good assistant coach like a Kenny Atkinson, or someone who hasn't had experience coaching the NBA but has former experience as an NBA player and a bright basketball mind like a JJ Redick. Every one of them has pluses and minuses. So I think the most important thing is whatever lane that the Lakers take, they got to fully embrace it in valuing the positive attributes that that lane provides, and the negatives, they got to put them in a position to succeed. So if they go the inexperienced route, they got to make sure they give that candidate a level of patience, but also surround him with veteran voices around his staff. For head coaches like a Mike Budenholzer, he ironically was also criticized in Milwaukee for not making good adjustments. And Darvin Ham was on his staff, but making sure that there's people on his staff that are good with those X's and O's. And yeah, so that I think that's really the main driving force, that there can't be all this instability. And as much as the Lakers might want to say, well, you know, we're having instability because we have high expectations, you also have to put that person in a position to succeed. And again, Darvin Ham, I would, you know, say up front, like, it shouldn't have taken him the first half of the season to find his starting lineup, because it was the same players that had played for him the first year. But I don't think that it would have dramatically changed their playoff fortunes. They probably would have avoided the play-in, so they would have avoided Denver in the first round, mm-hmm. but I don't think they would have gotten dramatically far because their roster is what it was. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, they played, you know, as best as can reasonably be. They're as healthy as reasonably can be, but you know, their supporting cast is what it is. It was a lot of potential, but a lot of inconsistent play, regardless of whether it was partly a product of Darvin's rotations.
So when we look at this idea that JJ Redick is a candidate, you mentioned that the Lakers would need to have patience with somebody like that, somebody who doesn't have coaching experience. They would have to have patience. Do they have the ability to be patient right now? Like, does that in and of itself sort of,
yeah,
is that a enough of a negative to perhaps prevent a person like JJ Redick from getting the job? Like, knowing that LeBron is going to be turning 40, I wonder if that patience, like, to me, I think JJ Redick is going to have to blow them away in the interview process, because I don't know that patience can exist.
Yeah. And I think that's ultimately the catch 22, because right, when you have LeBron James on your team, especially at this stage of his career, you're on a championship window. You're not on a rebuild. And I think because of that, I think JJ Redick deserves every single head coaching vacancy that can be available to him right now. But I think I would have serious question marks for this position specifically. And I think that he would do a wondrous job, but there's going to be inevitable learning curves. And I think he would also be put in almost an unwinnable situation of having to manage LeBron James. It's, you know, it's positive that, yeah, they've done a podcast together. They have a respect for each other, but that can only go so far, as far as what it means to be a head coach. And I think that history has shown it's hard to be a head coach of a player that's your contemporary. It's just an unwinnable situation. And so I think with that, I wouldn't think that that's the best choice to take. And when I'm talking about level of patience here, it's not about, oh yeah, let's play this out for 5 years, you know, or anything like that. I think the level of patience is more of, okay, we know what his disadvantages are, so let's do everything that we can to put himself in a position to succeed. And that's where I was getting with Darvin. Like, I do give the Lakers a little bit of a benefit of the doubt that I thought that it was the right course to take with, wanting to have continuity and bringing most of the guys back. I do give them the benefit of the doubt that they try to safeguard against, you know, D'Angelo Russell's weaknesses, most specifically with getting Gabe Vincent, and that didn't work out because he wasn't healthy. But they did have opportunities to change things in the trade deadline. And so if things were so urgent that they felt like, okay, we need to make this dramatic push or else, then where was the moves leading to the trade deadline? And again, in their defense, they only had so many assets to work with, but this is where kind of the contradictions run dry here, that the accountability needs to go both ways.
I think that's fair. I think it was a tough trade deadline for them. From what I had heard behind the scenes, the moves that were available were, there was a high price to pay in order to do those moves. And now they've set themselves up for potentially a big summer that, you know, like you said, they're going to have more assets available, you know, at their disposal. So I guess let's get to that. What happens now? What is the path? How do they build the next iteration of the Lakers? How do you get this thing to the point where you are, where, I mean, right now we're watching Minnesota dismantle Denver with their defense. We're watching OKC. They looked great last night against the Mavs. What's the path for the Lakers to get themselves up to that level? Because we know that's where they want to be.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to get to that level as far as becoming similar to Minnesota, Oklahoma City, because they're a young team. And I don't think it's advisable to make some sort of difficult decision of, oh, let's trade LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I think, still the best pathway for success, both from a basketball standpoint and a business standpoint. So I think the low-hanging fruit with this is that I don't think LeBron James is going anywhere. Just like, you know, last summer when he immediately suggested he might retire after the playoffs ended, it's the same idea here. No one's actually seriously thinking he's going to leave the Lakers, and the Lakers are proceeding as if he's going to be a Laker. But that doesn't mean that they should rest on their laurels. I think what it entails is that they got to make win now moves, as long as it's not decimating their roster where they don't have enough reinforcements and enough quality role players to offset the possibility that LeBron and AD won't be as healthy as they would be this season. Cause that, you know, was a great testament to them, but it was also unexpected and also wasn't a good sign that even though everything aligned for them to have as good of a season as realistic could be, that they still just finished as a seventh seed in a first round exit. So that's number one. I think number two, it seems inevitable. This is the end of the D'Angelo Russell era. I mean, I think, you know, he's basically insinuated he's going to opt out. And while I do give him a lot of credit that he's been a much improved player, he had been a critical piece, you know, two seasons ago as part of the post trade deadline resurgence, because he was the machine that finally made the offense a lot more efficient, a lot more ball team oriented and ball movement oriented than it was under Russell Westbrook. I think we saw this season that his playoff shortcomings are his playoff shortcomings. And I think that that's going to dramatically change. It's just unrealistic. And so, you know, there's a lot of positives from D'Angelo that he can offer in the regular season, even the postseason. But to get to that next level, they need a player that's not going to be as, you know, poor when he doesn't have good games. So I think with that, what can they do a sign and trade involving D'Angelo? And I don't know the answer to that, but that seems to be the best course of action, beyond obviously making sure that LeBron James isn't going anywhere. But again, whether he opts out or not, I suspect that the next course of action is they offer him that 3-year deal, and that's that.
With the big name being out there right now, being Trae Young as potential. Now he just switched agencies. Maybe that matters. Now he's with CAA. He's not with Clutch anymore. He just announced that yesterday. Maybe that's something that matters. If it's Trae, though, if that is the Lakers' best shot at getting a third star, should they be willing to go all in? And I'm talking about the three future first-round picks, whatever salaries you have to stack up in order to get him. Is he the guy that they should go all in to get, or do you think it's better to kind of, in a way, keep the powder dry, continue to build depth, and then try to build your roster moving forward that way, and maybe sometime in the future, you'd try to make that big move for a third star?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah, it's a very fair question, very difficult one that the Lakers have to entertain, because I'm a Trae Young fan, great playmaker, great shooter. He has improved somewhat as a defender, but even with him pairing with DeJounte Murray, whether you know, some of it's been injuries, but even when they've been healthy together, it hasn't been the same kind of effectiveness that the Hawks certainly envisioned, that finally there would be more help for them. They would start winning basketball games again. And I had that same concern if the Lakers were to get Trae Young, even though he's with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, more accountability. I think that it is a trade they should be willing to make, but they have to make sure that it's one thing to give up draft picks, but that they're having good role players to, again, make it about it's a complete team than just a three-star team. And I think the other complicated variable to that is we don't know what the other potential options are. I mean, people are obviously throwing out Donovan Mitchell as a possibility, but, you know, I don't suspect that they're going to get past the Boston Celtics in the second round, but even though that would then reinforce Donovan Mitchell's hasn't gotten past the second round of his career, I think that that doesn't necessarily guarantee that all of a sudden he wants out of Cleveland, because they've been building something good. They have a really good team in and of itself. You never discount it because it's the Lakers, but it's hard to really answer that question knowing if there are going to be other options there. If there are going to be other options there, you know, I think it's of the Lakers' hope that they have that, because there's a lot of question marks around Trae Young. But if Trae Young is the only option, they do have to seriously consider it, so long as it's not about getting him and then hoping that they fill out the roster with just vet minimum guys. That's not going to work.
He's not the same player. But we went down that path with Russell Westbrook, and that was disaster. I don't think anybody is in any hurry to revisit that. So I think you're right. You have to be careful if you do it. You have to make sure that you've got depth around those guys still, or at least a reasonable amount of depth around those three if you're going to do something like that. Let's say it is Donovan. Let's say Donovan Mitchell, the other name that's out there, Lauri Markkanen has kind of been floating around. Who knows what Danny Ainge is going to do with him. But if the three possibilities, let's say, are Lauri Markkanen, Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, how would you rank those guys without knowing obviously what the offers are, just in terms of who you would prefer to see in purple and gold?
Yeah, I'd rank Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, and then Lauri Markkanen. I love Lauri Markkanen's game. I would just have concern about roster redundancy. I mean, the Lakers have plenty of front court help already, because it starts with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I think the priority would be about trying to find an elite point guard if they do the third star route. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to do that. There can be some value in doing, let's have it be a two-star system. And then, you know, the third star is composite character X of a handful of good guys, as long as they know that there's a game-to-game consistency of one or two of those guys. It just has to be the right combination. I think that was the lesson of this season. And again, I understand and was fully supportive, you know, as far as my opinion, that that was the better play than trying to go after Kyrie or Trae Young last summer. But as we saw, the combination of injuries, kind of the roster strengths with both, you know, D'Angelo, Austin Reaves, Rui Hachimura, and the mismanagement of rotations, that really create a bad combination of continuity having its limits.
Certainly going to be a challenge now for Rob Pelinka this summer to put together a roster that, again, has that cohesiveness, that chemistry, that secret sauce, whatever it is, where you can get the right combination of players together while balancing the, do you go for a third star model? Do you go for depth? What does all that look like? There's going to be a lot in the air for this team. Let's finish with that. How much of this, because you mentioned that there's blame that can go on to Darvin Ham, but blame that can go elsewhere as well. We've talked a lot about the players. How much pressure is on the Lakers front office? How much pressure is on Rob Pelinka heading into this summer?
Yeah, there's always going to be pressure because it's the Lakers. I don't think there's pressure as far as job evaluations. I mean, Jeannie Buss has made it clear to me when I've, you know, talked with her through different interviews the last 2 years that she has been supporting Rob Pelinka through everything, you know, through the initial success with the 2020 championship. And then even with the Russell Westbrook trade, I think, you know, from her perspective, a lot of it had to do more with the injuries than the Russ fit. But one thing that she credited Rob last summer was that he was willing to correct a mistake. And that is a value in a GM that, you know, inevitably you always make moves. Sometimes they're right moves, sometimes they're wrong moves, but there's a good quality in knowing how to correct a mistake. So yes, there's pressure from the fan base, pressure from LeBron James, pressure from just the idea of when you're working for the Lakers, you want to put together a championship caliber product because that's what it's about, especially with the fact that the Lakers are tied for the Celtics for most championships right now. But I don't think there's pressure from like job evaluation standpoint. Jeannie Buss has been very supportive of him.
Well, we'll see ultimately what the Lakers do this summer. If they're able to put together a great team for next season, there's, again, a lot of decisions, as we've talked about over the last, you know, 25 minutes here, a lot of decisions that the Lakers are going to have to make that will chart the course for this team's future, both near-term and long-term. So a lot on the line. Of course, we're going to be with you every step of the way, breaking down all of the latest Lakers news, everything that's going on, what choices the team's making, what options they have available to them. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Really enjoyed this conversation. Always appreciate your insight.
Trevor, appreciate being able to be a part of it and appreciate all the great work that you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. Everybody, make sure you do go follow Marco. Find him on CBS LA. You guys can watch him there. You can listen to him on Fox Sports Radio. And don't forget to subscribe right here to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.